In this episode, I talk with the one and only Cody Hawk about taking action to building your private label empire. See you inside.
Hello and welcome to the Private Labeler Show, where we are dedicated to helping you take your Amazon business to the next level. Now, here is your host, Nick Landowski.
Woo! Wow, yes. Yes, it is time. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 40 of the Private Labeler Show, where we are helping 1,000 amazing people start an online business in 2016. Now, on today's show, I have a very special guest for you. He goes by the name of Cody Hawk, and he'll be joining us in just a few minutes here. Before all that, though, I just want to make sure that you subscribe to the show on iTunes if you haven't already done so. Please make sure you go to privatelabelershow.com/iTunes. iTunes is one word there. So make sure you go to iTunes, find the show, subscribe. And also, if you could do me a favor, please leave a comment or a review. I would be more than happy to read it on a future episode. And also, too, if you're brand new to the show, make sure you go to privatelabelershow.com/start. It'll take you to the start page and kind of get you started with the podcast and the blog. So check that out. Also, I just wanted to share a very quick tidbit of Amazon news with you guys, as you guys know that I love to do that from time to time. With the 4th of July right around the corner, depending upon when you're listening to this, I thought that this story is really cool on Amazon's part to give Amazon a little plug here for a great job. It says here that Amazon is pledging to hire 25,000 veterans and military spouses over the span of, I think it says, the next 5 years. So very awesome that Amazon is looking out for the vets and the military spouses and providing them with some employment opportunities. So big ups to Amazon on that. That's a lot of people to hire. Amazon's obviously a huge company, but kudos to you, Amazon, and Mr. Bezos. You're doing the right thing. So I just thought I would share that with you guys. Now, in just a second, I'm going to play the interview that I did with Cody Hawk. Now, I have followed Cody for a while now, mainly on his YouTube channel, and I really loved his passion and knowledge around all things entrepreneurship, e-commerce, Amazon, FBA, reselling, private labeling, the whole nine yards. Now, he's been a successful entrepreneur and seller for many years now, and I really thought that he'd be a very valuable guest for the show and the listeners out there. So I really think you guys are going to enjoy this and get a lot out of it, a lot of value, a lot of nuggets. Now, Cody's got a great story about how he struggled in high school, and he's kind of told he was never really going to amount to much. And after the fact of working kind of the 9-to-5, the regular gig, he decided that he had aspirations to be his own boss, starting off on his own journey to become an entrepreneur. And like a lot of us, he struggled, you know, quite a bit in the beginning. I think he stated that in his first 2 years, he really struggled quite a bit trying to make it on his own. But he just did something genius. He just kept moving forward, just kept learning from his mistakes, and just kept pushing forward. So things finally clicked after that for him, obviously. Now, essentially, if you want something bad enough, you know, you'll find a way to make it happen like Cody did. So in the interview, he's going to drop tons of great knowledge about all things Amazon, private labeling, e-commerce, entrepreneurship, and essentially just working to build your empire. So without further ado, let's just get right into it and welcome Mr. Cody Hawk. Hey, everybody, what's going on? And welcome to another episode of the Private Labeler Show. Today, we have a very special guest for your listening pleasure. Please, everyone, welcome the one and only Mr. Cody Hawk to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man, good. Every time I think of your name, I think of Tony Hawk for some reason. Do you get that a lot?
I do. I get that a lot, which works for me because he's always kind of been someone I looked up to, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah, did you see his 900 that he did yesterday or a few days ago?
You know, I've seen the 900 he did live back, the original one he's done. So I've seen him do a few in his career. But yeah, I mean, Tony Hawk, he's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, he jumped. There was a video going around the other day, and he got back on his board. I think he's almost 50 at this time. And he knocked out another 900. So he had a whole video of it. He did the 900, and then he just got in his car with his kid and then just left right away. So it was kind of cool. So I don't know why I think every time I think your name, I think of Tony Hawk for some reason, because I know you're into the whole skateboarding and stuff like that. So anyways, but hey, man, I just want to thank you for taking the time to join us on the podcast here today. I know you have a million things going on, which I really appreciate your time. And I just wanted to just kind of tell the audience, you know, I just want to congratulate you that you have another new addition to your family. You have your fourth child that you just recently had. So for all of us out there listening, you know, we want to congratulate you on that.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's that's, I always say that's my greatest accomplishment. All the things I try to do, but having kids, especially having four kids, is amazing. So I appreciate that.
Definitely, definitely. And then for everybody that isn't familiar with who you are, can you just give us like a quick bio on yourself, Cody?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started out as a carpenter by trade. I'm actually a high school dropout, didn't know what to do, got into carpentry, and before I knew it, I owned my own construction business. It was an amazing business, but it was just a couple years shy of the 2008 crash. And that crash was really good for me because it kind of shook my core belief and it made me get out of my comfort zone. And from there, I ended up getting a really good corporate job and kind of went a different direction. Did that for a couple years, realized that jobs were not for me and I wanted to start my own business, even though at the time I had a wife who just lost a really good job. I had two kids. But I decided to swing the bat, take a massive risk, ended up quitting a six-figure job to start my own online company, got into affiliate marketing and what most people refer to as reselling. And then I've been doing that successfully for about 6 years. I did it unsuccessfully for the first two, but I never gave up. And so now I run a couple of companies. My main company is Geek Buds. I also own a couple of other small brands that of private label products that we create. And I own a media company where we create digital media products, websites, a lot of stuff in the e-commerce space. So went from, you know, back in 2008, a guy kind of wanting to make money online to a full-fledged company just with about 8 years of hard work.
Wow, that's a great story. So you said, you know, high school dropout and you just kind of had persistence to keep pushing forward and then realized that you wanted to start your own business or work for yourself as an entrepreneur. And I think what did you mention there? You said for 2 years you were a little unsuccessful doing the reselling, right? Is that what you mentioned?
Yeah, so reselling, internet marketing, pretty much everything I failed at and I failed miserably at. But the biggest thing I've always had, I think one of my best characteristics as an entrepreneur is I just have a really strong work ethic and I never give up. I'm willing to just work away at it. And so I literally failed. I spent thousands and thousands of dollars that I barely had at the time to learn, to educate myself, to do this. And eventually it did pay off. And the reason I tell that part of the story consistently is I know that, you know, maybe some of your listeners, people who are going to hear this podcast, they're otherwise in or have been in that situation, and you just never know when you're finally going to have that breakthrough. And literally, I mean, I know everyone says this, but literally, if I can do it, anyone can. I have up to an 11th grade of the quote-unquote formal education, but I decided to go full beast mode on educating myself through books, through mentors, through CDs, through everything I could get my hands on, and it can pay off if you never give up.
Wow, that's a great story, and hopefully some of the listeners out there can kind of just put that in their brains and spin it around a little bit, that it doesn't necessarily matter your education level, it's just your persistence and willingness to kind of keep pushing forward. And, you know, there's a lot of stories out there like that, Cody, where people say, you know, it took them years to make their first dollar online or they really struggled, and a lot of those people actually might quit and just kind of go off to their regular job again or back to the 9-to-5, but you obviously had the persistence to just keep educating yourself and pushing forward. So that's a really great story. Hopefully that connects with some of the listeners out there. Now, I got a question. Since one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on is you have a really good, you have some really great experience in kind of a lot of different areas, not only Amazon, but obviously just e-commerce in general. And I'm just kind of curious, like, what are your thoughts on somebody that is interested in, let's just say, selling on Amazon? Let's just use that as the channel. Should they start off in reselling or just jump kind of right into private labeling? Like, what are your thoughts? It's 2016. Can you just kind of frame that for the listener?
Yeah, so I think it starts with your experience online and your budget to a certain degree. You know, the one beauty of reselling is with reselling, you literally could start with, let's say, a $20 bill in your pocket. Where private label, it's not expensive like some people would have you believe, but it does cost a bit more money because you're going to have a higher MOQ, minimum order quantity. So, you know, that does play a factor, but I always recommend people get their feet wet. So I would start with something like wholesale. So I probably would do neither if I was recommending. I would start with wholesale. And there's a lot of amazing sites nowadays where you can buy wholesale, but smaller quantities. So 10, 25, things like that. And that way you can kind of get your feet wet. You can get started on Amazon. You can start making some money, but you're not starting so far back to where you're selling random items. Now, I know there's a massive audience for just the reselling, the antiques, those type of things. And if that's your vision, then I recommend you go that path. But if your ultimate goal is to own a brand or own products of your own, I would start with wholesale and then work your way into private label once you've got small inventory going and some sales coming in. It's a lot easier to learn and make your mistakes that way than to make your mistakes with 100 or 300 of a product you never should have purchased.
Okay, makes total sense there. Now, I'm just kind of curious. Obviously, you got a lot of experience over the years with Amazon kind of evaluating different niches and categories and things like that. I'm sure you've had, you know, some great success in a lot of different ones and maybe not so much success in other areas. But again, being 2016, businesses change, Amazon changes, you know, e-commerce changes, but what would you say maybe some of the current best categories or niches to get involved in Amazon are? Like, what's your opinion on a few of them, and why would you recommend a couple of them that you might want to recommend to the audience?
So, you know, having multiple kids, one that I personally never got into, but I know is massively successful and I've helped a lot of people get into, is baby. The baby and children niches, because there's so many people having kids constantly. It's not slowing down. In fact, it's growing. Our population in the world and in the United States is growing year over year over year. So baby is in a massive evergreen growing niche. Also, thinking outside the box. So what I typically tell people is don't just pick a niche, but sub that niche down. So for example, not just baby, but maybe, you know, travel products for babies, or, you know, it could potentially be safety products for babies. So really coming in with a sub niche. One common mistake a lot of people make is they look for a very broad niche and then they get confused on how they could dominate. But what you got to do is look at little sub pockets of these niches. So the first thing I do is always look for something that could potentially sell year-round. It's not like a trend or a fad, or it's not seasonal. I try to stay away from things like electronics and trendy things for the latest iPhone, but then also looking at what is happening in the world in trends. If you want to go that direction, you could look at something like home storage. One category that has exploded with are you familiar with the tiny house movement?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I see that pop up a lot on my Facebook feed, just people commenting or kind of wishing that they could do that sometime down the road. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, I actually own some property and we're actually looking at purchasing a tiny house for, you know, obviously part-time living. We're not going to live a family of six in a tiny house, but on my property, we're looking at building a cabin. Instead, we're probably going to go the tiny house route, but I kind of got engulfed in this culture the last couple of years for whether it's vacation or it's full-time living or it's people like myself with recreational properties. Then you're looking at like space saving. So with the way that this society is, there's a lot of different products where you could buy compact and you can unfold. So whether it's some kind of canvas storage solutions, but really getting creative with it. So finding a niche like that, like for myself, I've actually been looking at private labeling a few different storage items for tiny houses. So kind of finding a culture inside of a subculture, inside of a niche, and really paring it down. And I'm a big proponent. Are you familiar with Kevin Kelly and his 1,000 True Fans?
No, I'm not.
Have you ever heard that?
No.
So Kevin Kelly, he's an amazing guy. He was part of Wired magazine. He's very interesting person. And he wrote this article. Your listeners can Google it. It's 1,000 True Fans by Kevin Kelly. It's free. It's a blog post. And in my opinion, it's one of the most powerful articles ever written. I was originally turned on to it by an interview I heard with Tim Ferriss. But this article kind of talks about your 1,000 True Fans and how to build the core of your business. And it's something that I've incorporated a lot in multiple companies I've created. And that's what I tell people as well when you're looking at a niche. You don't need to dominate and be the next big brand in kitchen or in baby or in, you know, any of these niches. You need to really find your 1,000 true customers. And so looking at that base. So for me, it's not really a big category. I look for more niche categories where you can have that pocket of 1,000, you know, or a couple thousand customers. Because a lot of people don't realize that it only takes a couple thousand customers customers to create $1 million business. You don't need to, you know, impact the world and be the next Rubik's Cube or Pet Rock to be successful nowadays.
That's really good advice there. I'll put that in the show notes for everybody. That I'll find that article, that blog post. I'm definitely going to check that out. Thank you so much. Hopefully the listeners will be all over that as well. Now I guess on the flip side of things, then, obviously you just talked about getting really sub niche and getting kind of almost specialty, if you will, or just very unique. But what's the opposite effect of that? So what are some categories that, let's just say I'm Joe Blow and I'm kind of just getting my feet wet here. What do I absolutely want to stay away from based on things that you see in Amazon today? Like, what are the categories that are red flags to you?
You know, primarily electronics. And the main reason, if you're new, I would stay away from that because that's got one of the highest scam rates. So, you know, everyone knows Amazon will pretty much take anything back for any reason. You have the highest return rate. You're also going to have the highest trend rate. So things change so fast, and these small mom and pop private labelers aren't going to have the resources or the manpower to stay ahead of that, and you could be stuck with a lot of units that won't sell. Also, stay away from what everyone else is doing. I see that a lot of these groups, there's a lot of amazing Facebook groups and, you know, pieces of software, but there's also a lot of bad ones that lead all the same people to the same watering hole, and it typically is new people who don't know any better. And so then you'll see little trends, like you'll see 900 people doing kitchen utensils, or you'll see a whole bunch of people doing the exact same thing, and that's what kind of drives the market down. And that's why I'm such a big proponent of being niche, because you don't need to dominate the category. You just need to be a specialist in your little area, and just the smallest little changes can help you drastically. So I stay away from things, you know, like that. And that's my biggest one, is a lot of people will get into iPhone cases, or they'll get into, you know, some new fancy microphone for a camera. And the problem with that is that stuff changes so fast, and you have so many big companies doing all the exact same thing, that it's a lot harder to make your mark.
Okay, makes total sense then. Now, you've obviously been selling on Amazon for many a different years, and you've obviously seen the landscape almost kind of change, I don't know, consistently at this point. I've been selling on Amazon for the past probably over 3+ years now. And I've seen drastic changes almost like every 6 to 12 months. It seems like everything just flips on its head. And obviously, you see all these changes just with internet marketing, e-commerce. Is everybody teaching, you know, all this new information, how to make money through it and things like that. But I just want, I'm very curious, like, what is your take on like the current state of selling on Amazon for the average Joe? Like, you mentioned going very specific sub niche, things like that, which is awesome. But like, what are your thoughts just on the current state of Amazon in 2016, in June of 2016?
You know, in 2016, we are still literally in the wild, wild west. If you're on the fence, I recommend you jump off the fence and take action today when you're listening to this, because, you know, what it is a lot of big companies, what a lot of people got to realize is, and not to go too far backwards from your question, but corporations by definition are made for two purposes. They're made to create profits for themselves and their shareholders, and they're made to protect themselves. And so that's why you see so many big companies that make this revolutionary product and then don't do nothing else. And that's also to their demise. Now, the reason I brought that up real quick is a lot of people think, well, all these big companies online. Now, the reason I say that it's the wild, wild west is because if you really pay attention, a lot of these big companies are still kind of in their own lane figuring this out. That's why it's opened so many doors for small private labelers, people coming in, creating their own products, creating their own brands, like I'm doing, like you're doing, and like a lot of the listeners are otherwise doing or want to do. And so I think between now and the next 4 to 5 years is the best time in history to get in. I kind of refer to it like, let's say you and I decided to pull some money together and start a cell phone company. Well, that would be foolish. We're way past that. Or we start a hardware company. For most people, again, going to be foolish. Well, when people talk about e-commerce in 5, 10, 15 years, they're going to say, man, wouldn't it have been awesome to get back in 2012 or 2018? And it's that same kind of deal. The landscape is, like you said, changing every 6 to 12 months drastically, and it will only get harder and more competitive for new people to get in. And then eventually it's going to take the, you know, the Richard Bransons or the Bill Gateses of the world to really shake things up. The rest of it's going to be stable. The other point I want to make real quick is, you know, I was born in 1984. So when I grew up in a very niche I grew up in a very direct society, meaning that if I wanted to watch something on TV, I otherwise had to be there, or you had that freaking, you know, that TV guide, things like that. Whereas now everything is super, super niche, and you could really pare it down to exactly what you want. We're kind of an on-demand society. And with that being the case, there's never been a better time in history for small online mom-and-pop brands to pop up that are very specific to people's needs. Whereas in the 80s and 90s and even to early 2000s, that stuff wasn't even possible. So, I mean, we could not be in a better time for this specific industry.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was hearing or reading something about that the other day, you know, how we're a custom society where we can get things exactly the way we want it, when we want it, you know, like you mentioned, the on-demand society. So that's an interesting take and an interesting point that, you know, we could use Amazon to be different and use it as that channel to sell that specific product to that exact specific customer, not necessarily the broad customer, but a very unique and specific one. Now, I guess, would you recommend that somebody, you know, if some seller that wants to get in, should they focus maybe on some kind of like some multiple random niches, or should they just really focus on a single niche to start to build a brand around? Because there's kind of some different methodologies on this. There's like the shotgun approach where you just throw a bunch of different types of products all over the board in different niches and whatever sticks, or you just do your homework and maybe just focus on one exact unique niche and kind of just go deep down that rabbit hole. Like, do you see a good and the bad of either one? Obviously, I think you like the going deep down the rabbit hole, but like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I recommended doing some wholesale in the beginning, because what I typically will tell my clients and people who come to me is, you know, you want to start with multiple things to kind of see what you like. And even I did that. I did that for years. I sold so many different types of products until I really figured out the handful of ones that I really wanted to go all in on. That being the case, you starting out a small wholesale kind of lets you figure out what you're interested in. And I think interest is important. You know, when I first got started on YouTube, I already had a reasonably successful business. And I would always tell people, look, I sell what sells. And that was 100% true. But as I did that year after year, I realized that it didn't hold my attention the way that it once did. Because, you know, in the beginning, everyone wants to make money. Once you make a couple bucks, and you're like, man, I wish I was happy doing this. And so I think that selling something you like and building a brand around something you love is going to allow you to do it, grow it, and expand it year after year. So I would start with kind of multiple things, more in the wholesale, figuring out what you enjoy to sell, and then finding your little subcategory, whether it's travel or kitchen stuff or bathroom stuff or baby. I mean, there's literally, you know, automotive. There's hundreds of little sub niches you can get into. And then really kind of focus to grow that, not only on Amazon, but on multiple platforms, you know, including your own website and building an actual brand around it. That's kind of the method and the steps I recommend most people to start with, so they can kind of find what direction fits best for them, because each business is going to be a little different.
That's awesome that you mentioned that, the, you know, having some sort of an interest around the product. And one of the things I always talk about on this podcast is it always is a little bit better, a little bit more helpful for you to wake up each day and want to work on your business, your private label business or Amazon business or whatever, if you actually care about your product and the customer. Because I know when I first started, when I was launching my first product, I realized I didn't like the product. I didn't even like the customers. And I was like, why did I waste all this time and effort to do something that, you know, maybe 3-4 months down the road, I'm not going to have any interest in anymore. Yeah, the money is great. But at the same time, you know, that loses kind of interest after a while if you just don't like your customer, you don't like your product. So really great that you mentioned that. Hopefully some of the listeners took that away as well. Now, I want to shift gears just a little bit here, Cody, and I want to talk about Alibaba for a second. I think you had a YouTube video, or you probably got a bunch of YouTube videos and some content around Alibaba, but do you have any tips for dealing with suppliers from Alibaba, like anything that you've learned along the way that would really help somebody kind of just getting it started? You know, they're logging into Alibaba, they're starting to talk to suppliers, looking for their first products and things like that. But do you have any really golden tips that you kind of picked up along the way?
Yeah, the first thing is realize their situation. So too often people don't put themselves in the other person's shoes. So Alibaba gets literally hundreds of emails a day. Like, yeah, I shouldn't say Alibaba, each individual supplier, because each one's an individual company for the most part. And so they get so much interest in their products. But what a lot of people don't realize is the vast majority of those are tire kickers who are never going to purchase. So right off the bat, you need to realize that you've got the burden to prove to them that you're not only a serious buyer, but you're looking to actually build a relationship with them. See, what a lot of people do is they complain about Alibaba and the high MOQs or high shipping prices, et cetera, et cetera. What they don't realize is if you take some simple steps, and I can talk about those here in a second, to actually let them know that, hey, I'm looking to build a relationship, I'm building a small company, and kind of bring them in to almost more of a partnership, they're 10x more likely to work with you more on your terms, and also you're going to get quicker response times, you're going to get better service, you're going to get better shipping rates, you're going to get more helpful people. And so right off the bat, I don't really feel that they need to prove anything to me. I feel that I need to prove to them that, hey, you know, I'm looking at doing this. I'm looking at buying these products. I'm looking at growing my business, and I'm looking at using you for my supplier. So let's see if we can come to terms and figure these terms out to make them work for both parties involved. Because their job is to sell you as much as possible and make the money they can. Your job is to get a reasonable amount that you could manage, especially if you're new, at the cheapest price possible. But if you can start building that relationship right off the bat, and that's what a lot of people forget, that they get hundreds of emails to deal with, and most of them are like, hey, what's the price on this? Hey, what's, and then they never hear back, and they never, you know, it develops in anything. So they've almost got like this defense mechanism, almost like a gatekeeper to get through. And once you get through that, I tell you, the grass is much, much greener. You know, for me with my suppliers, I buy a lot of product every single month from a lot of different suppliers. And it got to the point where it's just a couple of emails and the stuff is on its way, as opposed to the beginning. So, you know, for me, that's the biggest thing, is let them know right out the gate you're looking to build that relationship.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I know. I got a pretty good relationship going with one of my suppliers right now. And it's almost like she'll look out for me. Like, she'll even say, hey, this is going on in your market, or I'm going to send you this new type of product, and with your next shipment is a new sample. So I get free samples and things like that. I mean, it was my birthday the other day, and she's wishing me happy birthday and things like that. So it's like cool little things like that, that, you know, as you develop that relationship, they're not only going to, you know, help you out with these things, but hopefully give you lower prices and just kind of give you a heads up on what's going on with what they're producing too. So very good stuff. Now, what do you, let's say we're actively, you know, ordering through Alibaba, and you've ordered, you know, probably who knows how much stuff through Alibaba, but, you know, do you have any tips on like saving money on shipping? Do you have any quick tips that you picked up over time from the shipping costs, like how to knock that down, or what are some smart shipping options?
Yeah. So for myself nowadays, I just use a broker. And so if you've been doing this for any length of time, I recommend starting to work with an actual broker. And you could find one specifically depending upon the niche you're in. It does change a little bit because different materials, certain brokers are only licensed to handle different things. So for me, that helps a lot. But if you're new, you don't need any extra expenses. So what I typically recommend is getting independent quotes, and you can set up a free account with, like, you know, FedEx Air, DHL, things like that. And what you'll do is you'll get the address you're shipping to, so whether it's your office or if you're doing it from home, wherever it may be, and the address they're shipping from, and you'll be able to get independent quotes. And what happens is it lets the supplier know that you know what you're talking about, because what happens in the e-commerce industry, whether we're dealing with a platform or we're dealing with a supplier like Alibaba, a lot of people pad their shipping. It's a big thing in the industry that people make money on shipping. Well, when you're buying private label, you don't want them to be making their money off you on shipping. So I always will, almost always, I should say, typically will provide them with independent quotes just to make sure we're on the same page. And that way you get some of these crazy quotes, you're not getting ripped off. Also, if you're new, I know you're antsy, you're looking to get your product, but in some situations, buy C can be a lot more financially beneficial, and it might be worth waiting the couple extra weeks, especially if you're getting a small MOQ. You could be really cutting into your margins. So making sure you're on the same page and you know the actual cost of shipping is always important.
Awesome. Awesome. And you do have a cool brand, and you're big on building brands, obviously, on Amazon, your own e-commerce site, whatever it might be. And I want to talk to you about your brand, Geek Buds. So for everybody that's not familiar out there, can you just tell us a little bit about your Geek Buds brand and why did you decide to start it and kind of the whole nine with that and what it's all about?
So yeah, we started it almost a year ago, and we wanted to, you know, when we started this conversation talking about how I have, you know, a wife and four kids, we wanted to create something fun and exciting that we could work on as a family. And that includes not only product development and, you know, all those things, but also, you know, going to trade shows, traveling, going to events with the products. Right now, we're working on actually bringing in people we're sponsoring to use our products, things like that. So really, the premise of the company, GeekBud, started with being able to do something as a family. And then I started looking at things that I love personally. And so we started incorporating different things that we love. We started with some skateboards. We talked about that in the beginning. We've done this line of plush emojis and these pillows. We've done sunglasses. Right now we're launching a bunch of wooden sunglasses that are amazing. I talked about how I was a carpenter by trade, so I started doing things out of types of material and things that I love. And it was pretty much the craziest thing. We got into massively competitive niches that everyone said we would fail. I spent a whole bunch of money in the beginning getting it going. But the thing is, like I talked about, not only with my experience, but like what you and I both said, is something that you're passionate about, you're going to work hard at. And the reason it paid off for me is just because I'm willing to chip away at it and I love working on it on a daily basis. But yeah, I mean, we got into sunglasses, apparel, skateboarding, plush. So massively competitive niches, ones that I typically wouldn't recommend. And not because you'd be my competitor. I would, you know, I'm the type of person that would tell just about anybody, just about anything, because I believe that there's room for all of us to do this. I mean, I don't know how big your audience is. I know my audience is, with my email list, is about 100,000 people. And I believe all of us could start a similar company and be successful, because that's the type of market that's out there. That being said, definitely highly competitive niche, but because we were willing to go all in on it, it worked out amazing for us and could work out amazing for anyone listening as well, whatever brand you make. But yeah, that's the biggest thing. And that's, you know, building a brand is the number one thing you want to be focused on. Even if you can't start it today, I recommend kind of having that in your sights.
Awesome. And then you mentioned you had the component, you wanted to get your kids involved with it too, right? So what's that been like?
It's been amazing because, you know, like I said, dropping out of the high school, and a lot of people say, well, you talk about that a lot. It's almost like you're bragging. You know, I think it's really good people get education, especially if it's education they're going to use, doctor, something like that. But for me, you know, I want to show my kids that it's not, you know, you're not worthless if you don't have a piece of paper. I literally had, you know, counselors, teachers, one of my parents literally saying, I'm never going to amount to nothing, pretty much going to be worthless, et cetera, because I didn't have the standardized form of education. And I think that was a lot of my drive in the beginning to prove them wrong. And then once I got to the point where I was making more money than all of them, more successful than all of them, I realized it was almost, you know, sad on their part. And I don't want my kids to go through that. I want them to know that if they want to be a doctor, by all means, we'll put you through medical school. But if you want to be an entrepreneur, there's other routes, there's other, you know, paths you can take. And so showing them from a young age that you have options, there's things you can accomplish. And it's not that I'm anti the standard education system. It's that I'm anti treating kids the way that I was treated that way. And most kids, unfortunately, would break under that. Thankfully, I'm the type of person where it drove me and I thought, okay, I'm going to show you. And I did. But yeah, for me, it's amazing to be able to incorporate my kids and show them that this is possible. And my favorite thing is, as I do that, and I show my kids sometimes in the videos, and we recently just did a video a week ago as a family, kind of giving people an update. The cool thing is I hear all these stories about people doing the same thing. Like, yeah, I incorporate my kids too, and we're private labeling, or we're boxing products up in the garage. And it's such an amazing thing that kids get to do that with your parents, because they'll never forget that. That'll be memories that they cherish forever.
That's awesome. I love your passion around the whole topic. So that's really cool. Now, let's just say I want to start let's say I'm really into fitness, let's say CrossFit or whatever it might be, fill in the blank. And I really want to start my own brand, but I don't exactly know what I'm doing yet, but I'm just, you know, I'm educating myself, taking action, moving forward. Maybe I got a few products up on Amazon. Maybe I got a Shopify site or a big commerce site, whatever it might be. But like, what tips could you offer me as somebody kind of just getting into the game, somebody that wants to build a really awesome brand, maybe incorporate their family in it, who knows, but what other tips could you give me so that I could succeed or take it to the next level for what my vision is?
So the most important thing is a competitor analysis. And so we're often trained to think that if these other companies are doing something, it must be great or everything must be going good. So the first thing I'd recommend, let's say you were going to do the CrossFit thing, I'd say, okay, go analyze CrossFit and put together a competition analysis. And this is something where a lot of people do in private label. They focus too much on analytical numbers that are irrelevant, like the sales rank and things like that, and not enough on what is your competition doing. And how can you have your little corner of the market? How can you have your 1,000 true customers. And so what I'd recommend is find, you know, what product in CrossFit, and I'm not a CrossFit guy myself, but I would say what product in CrossFit are you looking at doing? And then, you know, who are your top 10 competitors? And what a lot of people will find out is you don't even have 5 or 10 competitors. And if that's the case, there's almost always massive room to do things, a slight tweak, and be able to really kill it in that market. But I would start with that competitor analysis. And let's say you were doing, I don't know, a weightlifting belt. And then I'd say, okay, you know, what are the top belts? How are they designed? Who's designing them? Where are they getting them made? What type of materials? And really starting to look. And then like we talked about that custom society, you know, not what's out there, but what do people want? And you can, I mean, nowadays it's so simple to split test things with, you know, Facebook or Instagram ads and get people's opinion. The one thing I learned when I got into affiliate marketing that I didn't use enough in the beginning was other people's opinion. Everyone loves to feel important. And so you could go out there and just split test a few different product ideas on Instagram and Facebook for $20, $30 marketing budget and start seeing what people actually want. And these are the little details that most big companies to this day still don't do. And so that's where I would start. I'd really start analyzing who you're going up against. And then it's not about dominating them. It's not the game of Risk where we're looking for world domination. We're looking for, okay, what portion of their customers are buying from them because they have no other option? And I think that's the golden nugget in private label, is not what everyone else is doing, but there's millions of products out there that people are purchasing because that's what's out there. But if there was something else, they absolutely would be all in. And that's the fascinating thing to me about 3D printers. I, over this last couple years, started buying a couple 3D printers. I'm really got deep into that and mock-ups and product creation. And when I started doing that, I found so many gaps in the market on all these different industries. And it's just mind blowing. And so that's, you know, if you're getting started, that's where I would start.
That's fantastic information there. The split testing, guys, for the listeners out there, split testing. And then I would even say like surveys, right? So putting surveys out there and getting people's real opinions. Maybe if you got a small email list that you're already building, send them surveys, and that way you get actual real opinions. And that might help you formulate, you know, some of your new product creations for the future, for maybe what the competitors aren't doing. Now, I want to shift gears here just a second, and I want to talk to you about you got obviously a YouTube channel, you got some different websites, you got your brands, you got all this stuff going on. But I also see that you also offer coaching, or you have a coaching program. Obviously, you have a ton of Amazon knowledge, ton of e-commerce knowledge, private labeling, reselling, the whole nine yards. But what's your coaching program all about? And, you know, what can you tell us about it? Like, why would somebody want to or be interested in your coaching program?
You know, when I first got started, my coaching program was just, I got a lot of requests of people needing help. Now it's gotten to the point where I get so many requests, it's crazy. But what I was able to do, because there's a lot of courses out there, and I've created some courses as well. There's some good ones, some bad ones, just like anything. But what I wanted to do was work with other people the same way that a few coaches work with me. And what that is at their pace, where they are in their business. So my coaching program at its foundation has a whole bunch of client videos that no one's ever seen unless they're one of my clients. And more importantly, the videos that actually impact you now, because what a lot of people do is they get information paralysis. They can go out there and they can watch hundreds or thousands of videos, and often people will, but often they'll take little to no action. So my coaching program, where it's different, is I literally will set up an action plan with the specific client, all my clients, and I basically walk them through those steps, and we don't move on until they go to the next step. So the most popular part of my coaching program is my 8-week program, and what's made that so successful is I won't move forward until you're ready. So even if we've got to hop on a bonus call, and I'm not kind of a any of my clients will tell you, I'm not a clock watcher. I'm willing to put in what they're willing to put in. So, you know, if you go to my website, Project Resale, it tells you all about the program. But more importantly, I walk them through the step as they go through it. So some of my clients will go through the 8-week program in 8 weeks. They'll re-sign up, or they won't if they're where they need to be, and they'll move on. But some of them, it takes much, much longer, and that's fine. That's what I mean by going at their pace. So sometimes I meet with them bi-weekly, monthly, because I pretty much refuse just to regurgitate a bunch of information that they won't get any value of. What I do is I say, okay, here's where we are. This is where I need to be. Let's get there. When we're there, we need to do this, this, and this. Then we're here. Then we need to do this, this, and this. So I really lay it out for them, as opposed to saying, well, you know, you're kind of on your own, buddy. And so that's really what separated my program and probably what's made it so unbelievably popular. And then I think also because I've kind of positioned myself as one of the experts in this just through sheer what I've actually done, and not just talk, but actual action. It's helped out a lot. But yeah, that's, you know, for me, that's what I always kind of attributed to, because all the coaches I've worked with in martial arts or in business have always been really action based. And I wanted to do the exact same thing, because everything I see out there tends to be, well, here's your information. Otherwise, do it or don't, and we'll see you later.
Yeah.
And that just simply doesn't work.
Are you normally, like a lot of your students, is they focused in around like private labeling, or is it reselling, or what are they interested in, or what are you teaching them?
You know, I work through a whole facet. So my goal is to help them scale their product. So a lot of times it is, I would say the primary core of my clients are private label and brand building. So going from, you know, I help them pick products, source products, create, you know, the listing. Because I believe the listing on Amazon is an asset. It's something that if done properly, you can scale a product. I talk a lot about marketing, which is something that I've been developing for the last 8 months, a really in-depth marketing course. Because that's the one thing, there's a lot of marketing courses out there, but not very many good ones, well, almost no good ones on specifically private label and building your brand and how to position it without spending $1 million on marketing. And so I focus a lot on the e-commerce side of marketing and not just traditional internet marketing, and then how to kind of scale past. And that's what I, you know, I work with people that are literally just getting started and they'd like to start, but they haven't started yet. And then I have multiple clients that are big brands, multi-million dollar companies will come to me, you know, and people, pretty much everyone in between. So yeah, it's like I said, it's really at where they currently are and how to get them to that next level.
And what site, we'll put it in the show notes, of course, but like what site was that you mentioned that they can find your coaching at?
Projectreseller.com. And then also one of my other sites, freelancewrangler.com, has a coaching tab. And I'm always running different promotions on there because that's my biggest thing. And a lot of people are like, hey man, if you're running these companies, how do you have so much time for coaching? Well, I'm able to, again, with me, time management, I'm super efficient, but also a lot of people don't realize that the core of my FBA company and the things, because I've got a team now and some employees, I only spend, and this is my little secret, I only spend about 12 to 15 hours a week doing this, because once you automate these processes, kind of like you were talking about with your suppliers, I've got the same relationship. You order the products, you know, they go to my warehouse, I've got employees check them in and shipping the stuff out. So my whole thing is, you know, product research, marketing, development, running the companies. So it really doesn't take as long as people think. And so I just have a passion for working with people because it's a lot of fun and I love seeing them grow their business and being able to me, it's kind of like, moving forward through some of the coaches that helped me, because I would have never had the success I have right now without them. I tried doing it on my own for 2 years, like I talked about, and I failed. And it wasn't until I hired a coach that I started to see money and then ultimately be able to quit my job. And so, yeah, for me, it's a lot of fun. But they can go to projectreseller.com or freelancewrangler.com and check that out if they're interested.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Like I said, I'll definitely put that in the show notes. And then kind of wrapping up here, where else can people find you online? I'm obviously going to link the YouTube channel there, but you're big on YouTube, growing that, it looks like, and always putting content out there. But where else can people find you?
So my new site is just getting ready to launch, depending upon when you hear this podcast. And it's CodyHawk.com. So I finally went out and bought my name, and it's going to kind of be my new hub of everything I'm doing, working on, because I've got so many projects. So you can go to CodyHawk.com. If you don't see the site, it is coming soon. And that's where I'd recommend to go. If not there, they can also find me, Cody Hawk, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. But primarily, you know, YouTube is kind of where I spend the most of my time as far as social media.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, we'll definitely put all that information in the show notes. So if you guys are listening, just check out the blog post for and the show notes for this episode here, so that way you can get linked up with Cody. If you're interested in his coaching or anything that he's got going on with Geek Buds or anything else that we mentioned there, all the content that he has on YouTube and things like, seems like you're always putting out, how many YouTube videos are you doing, like one or two a week, or you're pretty active on YouTube, right?
So it depends. It goes up and down. Recently, it's been a little bit less. I've only been putting out a couple a week because I've been a lot of big life transitions. We just got a new house and I've been moving Geek Buds. We've been growing so quick that we got a new office. But typically, I was doing 5 to 6. So we'll be back up to 5 to 6 in July.
Awesome. So for the listeners out there, check out his YouTube channel. Lots of awesome content there. Make sure you subscribe to his channel. Leave some comments, obviously, or questions if you have any questions about anything he's talking about there. So yeah, that kind of wraps it up here, Cody. I'm really excited. I know you probably got to get going. Obviously, you know, a lot on your plate, and I appreciate all the time. But any other last parting words of wisdom for the listeners out there, somebody that's maybe looking to get to where you are these days and maybe just starting out, maybe someone that just left their job or has plans to, like, maybe some words of wisdom?
Yeah, what I would tell people is, no matter where you are in life right now, keep in mind that everything's possible. Literally, everything is possible. As humankind, we don't know what's possible. And I'm a firm believer is that everything's possible. So even if you have no support system like I did, even if you have no money like I did, even if you have no help like I did, you can do this. And there's no time like the present. You know, I know that you may have kids, you may have a job where you're working all the time, you may have so many distractions in life, but this really is, if you're at all interested in making money online through e-commerce, I'm not saying it's going to go away in the next 4 to 5 years, that the opportunity will still be there, but it'll never be like it is today. This literally is the wild, wild west. You have so many opportunities. And even if no one in your life believes in you or you don't think you have the money, find a way, because you will be thankful you did. And I would just take action daily. Even if you can only afford 1 hour a day, 1 hour a day is better than a couple, you know, 10, 12 hour productive days, you know, once or twice a week. If you could just chip away at it day after day for 30 minutes or an hour, you will be glad you did. So take action today.
Wow. Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate the passion. And then you got such a great story, Cody. And I know the listeners out there really appreciate your time again as well. And we're definitely going to maybe have you back on in the future after things kind of settle down here a little bit for you. But thank you again, man. I really appreciate it. And the listeners out there, again, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you sometime soon. Hey, I was wondering if you could do me a quick favor. If you listen to this podcast episode on iTunes, Stitcher, or even YouTube, could you please leave me a quick review or a quick upvote? It would be greatly appreciated and go a long way to helping me reach my goal of helping 1,000 people start an online business in 2016. Thank you, and talk soon.